Have you dealt with anything difficult recently, since the first of the year, say? Or do you think it's conceivable that you might be dealing with some challenges, say, in the next 6 months or so? This morning we continue our study in John's Gospel by looking at chapter 16, verses 25 to 33. And I've entitled the sermon, Jesus Has Overcome the World. Now, as I read the scripture, I'd like you to be alert to what was said by Jesus regarding the entire matter of trouble and of overcoming. So here we are, John chapter 16. We're picking up where we left off. We're ready for verse 25. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, in terms of an outline for this morning, or key points, it's quite simple. Number one, there are troubles in the world. Number two, Jesus has overcome the world. Ready for the benediction? All right, let's start with that first one. There are troubles in the world. You know, sometimes, isn't it so, we think there may be something terribly wrong with all of the setbacks and challenges we face? And actually, there is. We're living in a sinful, broken world. And we're not going to be in a place of perfection until we get to glory. So as Jesus put it in verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. What then do we do, given the fact that we face various trials and tribulations in life? I think perhaps we ought to come back and just sing it again and again, John Newton, in that third stanza of Amazing Grace, when he said, you know, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me safely home." These past couple weeks have been a struggle for me, given the fact that I didn't feel up to par. But that was quite minor compared to what many people are going through. In fact, if you were here last Sunday, you heard Diane and I sharing about some of our missionaries and what they're dealing with. One of them being Glenn and Chris Everett, and then on the heels of that, I received a personal email from Glenn. "Pastor Bob, we're very glad and encouraged to hear from you. Please accept my apology for this delayed reply, but we've had several issues arise these past few months, all health-related within the family. The most recent was our daughter's diagnosis of Hep A, which came about the time of your email to us. Also, Chris has been spending 5 days a week caring for her mother in Salem, who has a metastatic colon cancer, and her dad in a nursing home. So they're living in Coshocton County. She's coming 5 days a week to Salem. It's been a challenge for us for certain. All of this was preceded by the sudden discovery of aggressive thyroid cancer in my mother and her passing in January." Anyway, Glenn still hopes to make a visit, see us here sometime later this year, but I'm just saying that's one family, and that's not, he wasn't even talking about his own health concerns and struggles that he deals with. Challenges, troubles, trials. I'd like us to reflect this morning on what the Apostle Paul had to say in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Sometimes we simply need to stop and put things into perspective. Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It seems to me that there are several things in this particular passage of Scripture that we would do well to keep in mind as we deal with troubles and challenges, trials in life. One of them is that our earthly troubles are temporary. Our earthly troubles are temporary. Jim Reeves apparently recognized that when he penned those song lyrics. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me through heaven's open door. And it goes on. I won't make you sit through the rest of it. Okay. Sometimes it seems like the problems that we're facing are never going to end. Sometimes it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But the Bible puts things in perspective like this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Did you get that? It really is temporary in light of eternity. Yes, there are troubles and trials in life, but there's no comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And something else to keep in mind that is so praiseworthy is that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Did you notice that as I read that passage from Romans 8? Sometimes we feel a bit overwhelmed by everything that's going on, don't we? I had to think of years ago, Diane and I were vacationing. Was that in Florida? And the radiator sprang a leak. And so we stopped at a garage, or were pulled off and got to a garage, and the guy patched up something, and then he put pressure back into it, and it squirted out over there. And then he got that repaired, and then he put pressure out, and there's another one that squirted out the other direction. Oh, boy. What does a person do when trouble keeps popping up? And if you think you're over the hump, there's yet another setback. What do you do? Well, you keep in mind what was said in verse 26 and 7 here in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And he does that, what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What more could we ask for? The helper does what we're not up to, given the problems that we may be dealing with at a particular point in time. Wow. But hang on, there's something else here that we do need to take note of from that Romans passage. A third thing to keep in mind as we think about all this. All things, it says, Paul said, work together for good to those that love the Lord, are the called according to his purpose. So do you love the Lord? Have you responded to God's love as it's demonstrated to us in Christ Jesus? If so, there's something absolutely amazing that takes place when we are dealing with trials and difficulties and tribulations. Yes, even when there are problems, when there are hard times. God is so great that he can take those seemingly negative situations, and perhaps I shouldn't say seemingly, because they really are, you know, bad things, difficult things that we encounter. But he can work in such a way that there is something of eternal value that's accomplished, and something that is accomplished for our good, and that is accomplished for his glory in all of that. Verse 28 says that we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That almost evokes a praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, you, not just once, but thrice. Yeah. Well, there are troubles in the world. But go ahead now, flip the coin. I know you've been waiting for the other side of the coin here. It's the other part of our text. Jesus has overcome the world. So notice again what Jesus said in verse 33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say, I'm going to overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world. So, have you been downcast or discouraged as you think about all the stuff that's going on in the world around us? Now, it's been decades since a friend of mine said, he said, you know, Bob, if I'd ever get married, I don't know that I'd even want to have kids. And I'm like, huh? And you know where he was coming from? For him, it wasn't a matter of economics like it is with some that are making choices about these kind of things. It's not a matter of, you know, lifestyle. Sometimes that's a question in people's minds, or it's not a matter of, you know, time commitments or that kind of thing. He didn't want to have kids, he said, to come into a world that's going wacky like it is, you know, all of the facing all of the problems. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. And we need to realize that this was not some pep talk before a basketball game. This was not a pep talk that the boss was giving so that the employees might sell more widgets. This was not some pep talk trying to get sad people to laugh again. This was Jesus saying, I have overcome the world. And this is an absolutely phenomenal spiritual truth. Jesus is saying that he has overcome the world, and the implication is that you and I can be overcomers as well, as we are in Christ, as we're walking with him, as we're trusting him, as we're looking to him. We're in Christ, and we can live in the victory that he makes possible. Now, to help us to see some of the implications of that, I'd like to, some of you may still have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 8, and that's good, so let's look now at verses 31 to 39 in Romans 8, 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We ought to just stop there and soak that one up. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, what is it that we ought to be paying note of and putting down into this hopper and sifting through and reflecting on? Well, for one thing, the Lord will freely give us all things that are needful. Did you see that? During this Lenten season, you know, we have a cross up here on the platform. Why? Why a cross, you know? Well, it's reminding us of what God did for you and I by sending Jesus into the world. It reminds us of Jesus willingly giving himself for us. By this we know love, the Bible says, because he laid down his life for us. But I'd like you to think now of what was said in verse 32 of this scripture that I just read. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, that's not saying everything that you have on your wish list at Amazon or Bed Bath & Beyond or Walmart. But think about it. Now, if God went all out for us by sending and giving Jesus, do you really think that he would now close up his arms and his hands of compassion and just leave us out there floundering around on our own, have to buckle up, you know, and whatever? Uh-uh. Uh-uh. The Lord will freely give us the things that are needful, needful for our spiritual growth, needful for our well-being. Peter, in his second epistle, for example, spoke of having been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. So the Lord freely and graciously makes available what we need to live godly lives in a sinful, broken world. Secondly, then, we see in this passage from Romans 8 that we're more than conquerors through Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about tribulation. He talked about distress and persecution and famine and, you know, all these things that human beings encounter and deal with in this world of ours. Now, I realize that the troubles that you and I deal with may be different from those that Paul was making note of, some of the things that he had encountered. Perhaps it's problems related to the family. Perhaps it's issues with the neighbors. Perhaps it's a particular temptation that is especially troublesome and hard and so on. Whatever the challenge, the good news is that you and I don't need to fight the battle on our own. We can persevere, we can overcome in the name of the Lord. As it's put in verse 37, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And yeah, who loves us still. The third thing we want to take note of is here in Romans 8 is that nothing is able to separate a believer from the love of God. Sometimes we're concerned about some things that are going on right now in our lives. Someone may be sitting here this morning that has a hard time focusing even on what I'm saying because of all the issues and the concerns. Something that's coming up this week, or next month, or even next year, or whatever. I don't know what it might be. But regardless of the concern, we would do well to soak up verses 38 and 39. Verses 38 and 39, what were they? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, there we are. Two spiritual truths, two realities. There are troubles in the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you and are so thankful that you have called us unto yourself and that you invite us to continue to participate and to be yoked up with you. And we just pray, Lord, that, well, Lord, we come this morning as needy people. We acknowledge that. And we acknowledge that sometimes we don't do so well in light of the challenges that are confronting us. But we thank you, Lord, for drawing us back and giving us that perspective which looks to you and to what you have done and want to do in our lives. So, Lord, we bring to you this day these things, these needs, these concerns, these problems, these challenges. Lord, as we roll them off on you, we want to thank you for your care and your concern. And please be at work, Lord. May we indeed be of good cheer as we think of the fact that Christ has overcome the world. In his name we pray. Amen.